It's great to be with you again today, and I hope that you've been able to be with us all week, and especially over the last 2 days. If not, you can get caught up on God Is by simply doing the following. In your web browser, type 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com. And at the top of the homepage, click More, and then Podcast, and you'll see God Is there. Click on that, and all of the broadcasts are waiting for you to listen to as many times as you'd like. That's 590amtheword.com, and click More, and then Podcasts. While you're there, can I encourage you to share this link with family and friends? The question before us, where did God come from, will be of interest to people who are not yet Christians. I like to say, not yet, because I have faith to believe that God, through His Holy Spirit, can radically transform any life by bringing a person to Christ. So introduce them to who God is by texting them, emailing them, or just telling them. What I'm talking about daily is available to them anytime at 590amtheword.com. Encourage them to tune in. In fact, why not listen with them and then talk about what you're learning together? And if you have any questions or comments about this, anything at all, do not hesitate to email me. My email address will be repeated later, but I'll give it to you now. It is mark@markaswallow.com. That's mark@markaswallow.com. As I said, the question we've been wrestling with is this. Where did God come from? According to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning there was God and God alone. The answer to the question is that God comes from nothing and God comes from no one. God just is. God is. Furthermore, since God always was, God always will be. God is past, present, and future. And I shared several scriptures with you from all across the Bible that clearly affirm this great truth to us. And then last time I introduced you to friends Arthur and Thomas, and we talked about the biblical truth they wrote for us. And when we left off, I was telling you about Thomas Watson's three types of beings. The first type are beings who have a beginning and have an end, like birds or fish. They are born and fly and swim around, but then they die and cease to exist. The second are beings that have a beginning but have no end. That is, you and I, humans. We are born, but we live forever. Yes, we have a death in the sense that we leave this world, but for all of us, there awaits eternal life, either in heaven or hell. And then, and here is the key, the third type of being is the one without a beginning and without an end, God. God is the only being who had no beginning and who has no end. And let's talk about God now. I want to draw your attention to a scripture that we looked at the other day, but there is a richness to it, a depth, a width, and that means it bears repeating. The text is Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Here, God speaks, and listen to how He describes Himself. Revelation 1 verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Thomas Watson writes about this text, and he says that the phrase, who is, means that God subsists of Himself. He maintains Himself. God supports Himself. That is, God is a pure and independent being. He doesn't need any help from us. God doesn't need us for anything. And I'll say more about that next week. And when we go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, we have the phrase, who was. Watson says that only God was before time. And this is exactly what we have learned together. God exists before time began. And then God invented time for us. God is not bound by our time. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. In other words, 1,000 years is nothing to God because God does not operate according to our watches and clocks. And then third, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, God says He is the one who is to come. I love the analogy Thomas Watson uses for this. Knowing that God is the one true and eternal king, he takes the analogy of a human king wearing a crown. And when that king dies, a successor takes the throne, usually a son. Let's modernize this. When Queen Elizabeth of the United Kingdom dies, Charles will take the crown and the throne. Well, Watson writes of God the king, God's crown has no successors. I love that. God's crown has no successors. God is future, and King Jesus is coming, and there is no king but our God. All the other kings and queens must bow down and worship at his feet. God is the king eternal. No human king is king forever. Only our God lives forever. He has no successors. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. I think the Puritan theologian Thomas Watson is spot on. He's 100% correct in his interpretation of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. And that text in the final book of the Bible affirms our main text in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God. And you might think, okay, fine, Mark, we get your point. But what does this have to do with my life today? Yes, I want to know who God is, but life is hard for me. I've got it tough. I have problems, and I need something practical here to help me out. Do you have anything for me, Swallow? Oh, sure I do. Think with me, if you would, about a very practical implication for all people, given that God lives forever. It's this: because God lives forever, there is a forever. And remember that we're the type of being who lives in that forever. There is an eternity. And so, if you are within the sound of my voice and you're a Christian, that is, you possess genuine faith in Jesus Christ and you believe in him for the forgiveness of your sins, then you are going to live forever in the eternal and everlasting and never-ending presence of God. Because God lives forever, you will live forever. And listen to just a sampling of what the Bible says about eternity spent living with God. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Life, fullness of joy, pleasures forever. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Are you experiencing any of those today? Well, then listen to the word of God and believe what God himself promises you. No more. There will not be any of the sadnesses and pains of this life anymore. When you and I reside in the presence of God in heaven, and when we do so forever, literally forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, we will always be with the Lord. Watson says of this passage, there is a peace without trouble, ease without pain, glory without end, forever with the Lord. Let this comfort the saints in all their troubles. Their sufferings are but short, but their reward is eternal. Eternity makes heaven to be heaven. It's the diamond in the ring. O blessed day that shall have no night, the sunlight of glory shall rise upon the soul and never set. All of that from Thomas Watson. So you see, there is a practical message for you as we consider that God has no beginning and no end. Whatever problem you face today, God will solve it. Endure then, my friend. And if you require someone to pray for you, then write to me today. To be sure, there are many earthly afflictions, troubles, and sufferings. I've had them, and you have them too. But today we look forward in faith to our Lord Jesus, and this gives us hope. And our hope is eternal. It's never-ending because it is hope in a never-ending God. Because God lives forever, we too shall live forever. Well, the Bible has been our guide to establish that God always was and God always will be. And oh, how I hope that you will join with me in praising God for who He is. This scripture from the book of Isaiah has been on my mind. In context, Isaiah is talking about the futility of man-made idols. And he says this, "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with Him?" That's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 18. "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with Him?" And the answer is no one and no thing. God is in a class all by Himself, and this causes us to lift up our hearts and minds and souls to Him, the God who has no beginning and who has no end, and to say, "Thank you for being God. Thank you for revealing yourself to your creatures. We won't compare you to anyone else. We will not make idols. We will choose to worship you today in all your glory, grandeur, and greatness." Oh, isn't God great? Words fail me to describe the breathtaking brilliance of God. And we've just gotten started in our ongoing discovery of who God is. Special thanks to my friends, and now hopefully your friends, A.W. Pink and Thomas Watson, for helping us out. One of the things I like to do for you is to introduce you to good theologians, people you can trust. You don't need to Google answers to questions about God. Please do not Google answers. There's a lot of false teaching, lies about God online. What you need to do is to find trusted resources who will tell you the truth. And I'm committed to giving you this in this ministry. And when you come back next time, we're going to continue our discussion as I invite you to consider the self-existence of God. God is self-existent. And that's what we dive into when God Is continues. Until then, press on and endure, my friends, and remember, in the beginning, God is.